definitely not been a good five-game stretch for the Toronto Raptors. I know they've kind of gotten over what a lot of people thought was the toughest part of their schedule, but now suddenly they've lost five in a row. Did they take the foot off the gas? What's gone wrong?
Well, a lot has gone wrong. I mean, part of it is as simple as they're just not making shots. I think they've been below, in each of the five losses, they've been below 32%, I think, and maybe even lower than that in three-point shooting. And this is one of the teams that, while they don't shoot that many three-pointers, they've been top five, top six all year in terms of accuracy. So I think if those numbers had evened out a bit more, then you're probably looking at, you know, finding a way to win two of those games. But the defense has been bad, and it's actually slightly improved during this streak, but it remains a problem. DeMar DeRozan is obviously injured, and that takes things out of whack. They're trying to work Jared Sullinger in, and he is, how should we say this politely, struggled to find his rhythm. Patrick Patterson was gone for a few of those games, and it's my opinion that he's probably the third most important to the Raptors' cause. And Kyle Lowry has shown some signs of being maybe a bit worn down, not being himself at times. So you put all that together, and you can find a way, a new way to lose every night, it seems, because there have been some bad losses in there for sure.
Now, obviously the injury to DeRozan, albeit short-term, hurts them a little bit, but you bring up a good point, Eric, about Kyle Lowry. He's a smaller guy who plays hard, and he plays a ton of minutes. Do you think the Raptors might be better served to dial back his minutes down the stretch?
Well, it's funny. My colleague Blake Murphy and I were talked about this today on The Athletic. Because they're in such a slump, and because so much of this team's past success has been based on chemistry and self-belief, it's becoming harder and harder to weigh the long-term focus and the let's take the foot off the gas with Lowry with the short-term focus of we need to get out of the slump. We're losing self-belief. It's a difficult thing to measure right now. I think in the long term, you definitely want to manage what you do with Lowry, because as we saw 2 years ago, a lessened version of Lowry, and he was really bad in that sweep to Washington, leads to disaster. But in the short term, I mean, his usage percentage is up. He's played 40 minutes or more in each of the two games with what DeRozan on the sidelines. Like, you sort of understand that because there is this pressing need to get some of that self-belief back. So I know I'm sort of sitting on the fence there, but I think it definitely has to be something to monitor for the long term. But if you're Dwayne Casey, how comfortable are you playing more than 8 or 10 minutes a night without either Lowry or DeRozan on the floor? I'd say not very.
We're joined by Eric Kareen. You can follow him on Twitter at ecareen or read his stuff at The Athletic. We're talking Toronto Raptors. Mark Mageau, Jason Gregor with you. Eric, what's going on with Damari Carroll? He's been struggling, and do you think his days in Toronto are potentially numbered?
Well, to answer your last question first, I think I'll be a Raptor for the rest of the year at least. His $15 million contract, while certainly not untradeable, is not favorable at the moment, and I think they want to see where they can get him by the end of the regular season. And that's another question in terms of the short-term, long-term dichotomy. Like, he's probably not giving you as much as Norman Powell is right now or as Terrence Ross is, but he's sort of getting an equal or bigger workload. So how do you weigh that when things are going poorly? He had been playing well at the beginning of January, so you know it's in him to an extent. And for the whole of January, the Raptors have actually performed pretty well while he's been on the floor. But we just haven't seen that defensive quickness. Not necessarily, he's been able to use his body physically at times. But when there's a quicker player who he has to stay in front of, he's clearly not the option that a player like Powell is right now. So again, this is a season-long process with him, and I don't think you give up on him, but when you have nights like Wednesday against the Grizzlies, when you see him just miss a layup, like a clean layup without anybody at the rim, or miss a wide-open corner three-pointer, and that's just the offense we're talking about. He's here for other reasons, obviously. It becomes very concerning, and it's going to be fascinating to see what Dwayne Casey does with him. In the last two fourth quarters, he hasn't played. Damari Carroll hasn't played at all, neither has Jared Sullinger. So you can see that switch being made maybe to more of a straight meritocracy, a straight win-now mindset, if not totally, at least balancing in that direction.
You'd kind of mentioned Norman Powell in that last answer, Eric. It looks like he's put together, I guess, some strong games back-to-back. What have you made of Powell's game the last couple of weeks?
He's super aggressive, and that can be, I think it's something the Raptors need, definitely, especially in the wake of DeRozan's injury. I mean, he's not going to get the calls that DeRozan does, but he certainly drives to the rim with abandon, and perhaps even more than DeRozan does. He just maybe doesn't have the art or the moves to, and certainly the name, to draw the referee's attention in the same way. You wish with those drives, maybe he'd be able to exercise a bit more court vision and a bit more sort of balance in between him going to take it all the way to the rim and him being able to kick it out. But for a second-year player who's a second-round pick, like, that's asking a lot. I think as he's done basically throughout all of his career, his short career, when he's been given a bit of a longer rope and a longer leash, he's shown he's quite deserving of it, which isn't to say he's perfect, but he's almost, without DeRozan, the wing that I trust most right now.
Eric Green from The Athletic in Toronto joins us talking NBA. Eric, the Raptors in a little bit of their own funk, of course. So are the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they're voicing their displeasure. LeBron's being on Twitter, showing frustration. There was the one tweet, wow, I'm not sure about management, stuff like that. Is this just kind of a team that's so good that's maybe just lost their focus for a bit, or are you starting to see some cracks that might last in the armor of Cleveland?
I have trouble thinking they won't be in the finals at the end of this thing still. It was interesting today to read ESPN's Brian Windhorst say that the dispute is sort of between LeBron and team ownership about expenditure. And they've been set, and the Cavs, since LeBron has re-arrived in Cleveland, have spent to historic levels, but you know, he's looking at the roster and sees no true backup point guard, and he feels the load of an 82-game season on him. He sees him struggling, and I think he felt certain promises were made that they would spend, you know, indefinitely when he arrived in order to maximize his championship window, and he wants to see another veteran brought in there, and I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's stuff that's not really going to matter at the end. I sort of suspect that if he wants another veteran point guard in there, they'll find a way to do that, because LeBron James tends to get what he wants. But, I mean, we can't go through a full year of LeBron and not have some drama, right? Like, this is the NBA. You got to talk. It can't all just be a Warriors watch 82 games long. We need some LeBron drama in there.
And quickly, right now today, like, is Westbrook the obvious choice for MVP?
I think Harden's right up there with him. James Harden of Houston might be my choice right now. And some people will say it's LeBron because he's the best player in the league, which I wouldn't argue, but it's not what we're talking about. We're talking about who had the best season and who's been most valuable this season. And I don't think you can make the case, you know, I think you can simultaneously make the case that James is the best player and is not having the best regular season.
Yes.
Harden in combination with Mike D'Antoni and general manager Daryl Morey, they seem to be this perfect symbiotic relationship where one feeds into the other, into the other, into the other. to create the sort of that paint and three-point shooting vision that Morey has had for the Rockets forever. And, I mean, what can you say about Westbrook? He's a one-man show. This award tends to go to players who lead better teams than the Thunder currently are, which is why I predict if the season ended today, Harden would win. For me, it's a toss-up. I might lean Harden, but I think either choice is a very valid one.
Well, Eric, when we talk next week, we'll see if the Raptors have been able to right the ship for their team. Obviously, getting DeMar DeRozan back would definitely help them. As always, we appreciate it. Thanks.
Be well.